Deuteronomy. The next Sunday we'll look at its echoes from Deuteronomy, because as you've noticed from the commandments, there's not a lot of explaining how to do this. We all get what it means, you know, not to murder, not to steal. Okay, that seems fair enough. What does it possibly mean to keep the Sabbath holy? It's made worse by the fact that the fourth commandment is the one that the Lord most strictly and routinely punishes. And then the following two Sundays we'll look at the text from the commandment from the Old Testament narrative and the New Testament narrative. So that we'll see how the commandments work throughout the whole of Scripture. And it's not just me banging up here saying silly things like, no sports on Sunday. We're over in 10 weeks and everybody thinks, oh, I'm glad we're done with that. Hopefully by the end of this you'll have a better sense of the book of Deuteronomy and the way the commandments shape the biblical witness in there. Well then, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Oh, I haven't read the passage, have I? Come on, Rufus. Jeez, absent-minded preachers. Okay, here we are. This is going to make sense in a bit. So, Deuteronomy chapter 5, beginning at the 12th verse. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and your maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And now, Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. An old elder at the first church who always said this, do it right or do it again. We've just seen that. So observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. To be very clear, the fourth commandment has always been a struggle for me. I have never known very clearly where to draw the line. When I was growing up, the Sabbath commandment meant nothing before noon and nothing after 7. It meant that I never attended Sunday sports practices or Sunday leagues. Now, to be honest, I am much happier when the world takes a slower pace on Sunday, mostly because it means there's less to keep you out of church. It means it's only your sin that keeps you away, not out of the casino. Now that said, I'm all for that until I need AA batteries on Sunday morning. I was intrigued to learn that Mormons keep the Sabbath with this one rule. They refuse to spend physical money on Sundays. Credit cards are okay, cash is not. Now two takes play in my head when I think about the Sabbath commandment. First took place in seminary, where I was defending my rather mild form of Sabbatarianism, the Sabbatarianism I grew up with. And when I was questioned closely by my colleagues, I agreed with them that kicking a ball on Sunday was okay, but an organized game was not. So, my said to me, "Your ethical problem is with referees." The second conversation was at a Banner of Truth conference. Now, one of the attendees was a seminarian whose life and discipleship had been revolutionized, frankly, had been savingly strengthened by extremely conscientious Sabbath observance. It would not be too much of a stretch to say that this man owed his soul, his life, his marriage, his family, and the entirety of his ministry to keeping the Sabbath commandment. But the way he said it, though, was this. I'll never forget it. "Men, I needed to be delivered from football." Now, this is usually where serious Presbyterians get into serious trouble, when they begin to suggest that the Lord has trouble with football. It's where you go from preaching to meddling. Which is why, at least, I struggle with this commandment. Because right away, one way or another, the fourth commandment very clearly exposes my own disobedience. Which is why we need to understand what the fourth commandment is saying, in order that it might lead us into the rest that our salvation in Jesus Christ has promised to us on this side of glory. Now, of the commandments, the fourth is the longest, it is the most complex, it is the most varied between Exodus and Deuteronomy. The fourth commandment expressly draws together the universal and the particular in a way that the other commandments do not. You shall not do any labor, nor your children, nor your servants, nor anyone who's in your tent. The universal and the particular. The fourth commandment is the only commandment that's directed at its hearers, at us, and not directed towards our worship or our neighbor. In Deuteronomy, the fourth commandment stands at the very center of the Decalogue, and it is the fourth commandment that gives the others their meaning. It's from the fourth commandment that we learn that all commandments have positive duties and sins forbidden. And very importantly, this is the only commandment given before Sinai, both in the creation and on the way to the mountain. And this is the one you have to remember for today, the important point this morning. The fourth commandment, the keeping of the Sabbath, is the most prominent and pervasive commandment in the entirety of the biblical text. It is commanded more than any other commandment. It is referred to more often than any other commandment. And this is the commandment the prophets are most likely to point to when they decry Israel's sin. It's not just so simple as Moses didn't understand the cultural importance of football. Now, something very important is happening in the fourth commandment. So we need to see the commandment clearly. A helpful way to begin to wrap your mind around the Sabbath commandment is to see it in three parts. There's a resolution, an affirmative part, and a negative part. A resolution, an affirmative part, and a negative part. The resolution includes the two sides of the commandment, verses 12 and 15. These verses both begin with observe and then remember. And they both contain the commandment to keep. Now, this is important. When the Old Testament uses observe and remember, it's using the strongest possible language to direct your heart and your behavior. These are words that are freighted with tremendous meaning, and that meaning is intended to draw your attention with laser-like focus to to what is being commanded, which is in this case to keep the Sabbath day. The Lord is calling on us to resolve ourselves, in its resolution, to resolve ourselves. That is, to have our minds firmly fixed on the fact that we will keep the Sabbath holy, as the Lord our God has commanded us. Now, we do this not only because the Lord has commanded us, but because we, as a people in bondage and slavery, who used to be in bondage and slavery, know what it is to be released into rest. Now, for the people of the Old Testament, this was deliverance from bondage to Egypt. They knew the meaning of rest because they had been delivered from cruel taskmasters. Bricks without straw are no fun tonight. We, free in Christ, know what it is to be delivered from the misery and bondage of sin. We know the freedom that Christ gives to his disciples. And we know what it is to be delivered from the cruelty of sin. So we know the blessing of a soul at rest in God. A resolution. The affirmative part of the commandment is contained in verse 13 and the start of verse 14. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. Keep the Sabbath day. Now the first thing that must be said is that a rhythm of work and rest is commanded to us. It's the same rhythm of work and rest commanded to us in the creation. The first thing we learn about work is that we're to rest from it. This means that 6 days of the week, we must live out our callings. Now notice that the goal of Christianity is not a social class dedicated to leisure. The goal of Christianity is faithfulness. And that means faithfulness to the Lord's calling on your life throughout the week. Now, for some of us, that means making a living. It means waking up intentionally to be about our daily labor. For others of us, we've reached a place in our lives when the physical demands of the labor force are simply beyond us. Now, that does not free us from pursuing our calling. It means we must be faithful to our calling, whatever that is. Perhaps the Lord is calling you to prayer. Or perhaps the Lord is calling you to volunteer work, the kind of volunteer work that you are able to do. But on the seventh day, rest is commanded. Sabbath is a day of rest, a day to be spent, and this is the important point, in the completed work of Jesus Christ. We are to keep the Sabbath day. Now, this commandment is engraved on stone, and it's engraved in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, and it's given as gift and comfort. It is a gift. We all know that Jesus tells us that the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath, which means that it is a gift to us. This is a day from the beginning when we have rest and refreshment of the garden. After the fall, this is the day when we have a sense that one day all of our sweating and all of our striving will cease, and we will one day enter into the perfect rest of our perfect Savior. The Sabbath is our comfort because so much is promised to those who keep it. Now, the greatest of those things promised is joy. On the Lord's Day, we enter fully and intentionally into the joy of the Lord. We lean into His embrace. We lean into His goodness. We We lean into His love. We're able to feast with our loved ones, knowing that the Lord is in heaven, that God reigns for the good of His people. And every week, heaven breaks into our week, and in doing so, transforms the meaning of our lives by directing our lives towards freedom in Christ and the joy of the Christian life. So a resolution and an affirmative part. Third, there is a negative part to the commandment, and that's what makes up the bulk of verse 14. On the Sabbath day, we're to do no work. We leave off our worldly work and cease from the usual daily pursuits. We focus our attention on the Lord. Now, this is the part of the commandment that we tend to have trouble with. We chafe at the thought that maybe we could get just a little ahead. Maybe we could do just a little more. Besides, what does it really mean to do no work? Is the problem simply with referees? No, the problem is with the fact that in our fallen estate, we need rest. And that means rest. The Sabbath is not for working or for catching up on work or getting ahead on work. Frankly, we're working. So let me put it this way. Don't rob yourself and don't rob God of this sanctuary in time in order to pull the devil's plot. Now, I can't solve the problem of what all that means. Joshua has a rescheduled soccer game this afternoon. But I need to let it go. Because God never required a commandment to be more strictly obeyed than this one. And that is frankly the good news this morning. For you see, the fourth commandment relativizes all human work. No matter what your boss says, your job is not the most important thing you do in a week, not by a long chalk. We can't, you see, save ourselves. We can't work ourselves into glory. We can, however, obey the Lord who has commanded this rest for our good. We can obey the Lord who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to achieve the work that we could never hope to achieve. It is the Lord Jesus Himself who teaches us to rest in Him on the Sabbath day. In teaching us to look to Him and to rest in Christ alone for salvation, Jesus is ensuring that we know freedom and the meaning of joy in our lives. For you see, the Sabbath commandment doesn't keep us from anything. Sabbath commandment opens before us a weekly taste of what it actually does mean to glorify God and enjoy Him